Hello and welcome to How to Walk in Divine Health, the radio outreach of the Living Savior Ministries. We have a special program today. Our speaker, Thurman Scrivener, is the senior pastor of the Living Savior Ministries. He is going to be teaching today the principles from God's Word on how to get healed and how to stay healed. We join today's message, What Changed with Gideon, already in progress.
If I can ask for anything, why should I say, oh God, if it be your will, Lord, please, Lord, if it be your will. No, that's not what he said, was it?
No.
He said, anything you demand in my name.
Yes,
see, the problem is we just don't believe him, do we?
I guess not.
So anyway, I believed him. I got her up, got her to the bedroom. I told her, I said, now, woman, you're supposed to submit to me in all things, so I want you to listen. I don't want to hear not one single thing about bruises or nothing. I don't have no bruises. I don't have no knots. I am healed. I'm made whole. I'm perfect because my husband prayed in faith for me. And so I'm going to bed. So I went around there and got in the bed. And a few minutes, she come in there. And boy, when she did, she snuggled right up against me. And she said, I'm so glad I'm married to you. She said, I don't have a bruise or a knot nowhere on my body. Now, who is that promise in there for? It's in there for you too, right, AA?
Right.
It's in there for everyone. Is that right, ladies and gentlemen? Is these promises that we're reading, are they there for all of us?
Yes.
Isn't that wonderful? They're here for all of us. Why in the world don't we use them? I guess not. I guess we don't know them. Wow. We're going to have to learn. We're going to have to. The best way to do it is get in the Word, right, Tommy?
Amen.
Get in the Word. Read the Word. And then when you read it, believe what you read. You got to believe it. You got to read it. You got to believe it. Wow. Let's go to, let's see, which one do I want to go to? Let's go to Matthew 18:19. We're going to cover Matthew 18:19 and then all the way through verse 35. And then, again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them by my Father which is in heaven. What did that just say? What did the Lord just say two of you could agree about? So what's wrong with us? Lack of faith. Lack of knowledge. We spend too much time doing everything besides reading God's Word, obviously, right? I know that was my problem. Still probably is my problem. Because that scripture couldn't be no clearer, could it, brother?
No, I'm writing it down.
Amen. I mean, Matthew 18:19 means exactly what it says. As Kim and Scott's favorite verse.
Amen.
Yeah. I mean, they were raised both Catholics. Y'all will appreciate this. And she being a school teacher, you know, she's a word person. So when she read this and saw this in church, she asked the people there, says, you know, this Matthew 18:19 says, if two of us on earth agree about anything we ask, it shall be done for us by our Father in heaven. They said, but it doesn't mean that. She said, it doesn't mean that. What does it mean? Well, we don't know what it means, but it don't mean what it says. And later she found out it does mean what it says. You asked that couple, how many times, Kim, you or Scott, how many times a week do y'all think y'all maybe use that verse?
Oh, I don't know.
A whole lot, right? But y'all get all kinds of answers too, don't you?
Yes.
You see, God did mean what he said.
Yes.
Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth shall agree about anything you ask me, it shall be done for you by my Father which is in heaven.
Amen.
Then let's go to verse 21, Matthew 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Seven times? This makes more Christians sick and their children sick than any one scripture, or group of scriptures that I know. For those of you that were listening a few minutes ago, when you heard Jeff give the testimony about little Gideon, 2.5-year-old boy, and when he was born, he had this very critical disease. When he was born. And then within that next year and a half or so, he started having kidney failure. Well, when he started having kidney failure and his kidney shut down, now nothing's working and his body is swelling up and now he's down to the point where he's nothing digests and he's fixing to die. He's only 2.5 years old. Well, they contacted us and wanted me to come up there. I told Cheryl, I said, no, I'm not going to Pennsylvania to pray for this boy. I said, people get to the point where they think, I'm the only one that can get things done. I said, that's not the way the kingdom works. It's supposed to be all of us. So I said, I'm going to see if Jeff will go. I want to send Jeff. And that way, when that boy gets healed with Jeff up there, next time somebody needs something, they'll call for Jeff, see, instead of calling for me. But is it any one person? No. And Jeff or me or Dave or anybody else that works for this ministry or anybody that's here today that's going to believe these promises, it's not just for us, they're for you. Every one of these things are for you. And God will answer. But if you don't know them, you can't stand on them. So that's like that example that Jeff gave a while ago about when Dave, when we started to check out, when that lady had the migraine headache, I was standing there and that lady's all bent over like this. And Dave said, "Ma'am, is there something wrong with you?" And she said, "Yes, I have a migraine headache. It's killing me." Well, as soon as I heard that, I thought, well, she don't have to have that. I'll use my faith. The Lord just told me, lay hands on people and they'll get well. He didn't say they had to have no faith. He said, all I got to do is have faith. So for me to lay hands, and so I just started kind of moving over that way right quick. And, of course, Dave, being the gentleman he is, he said, "Ma'am, can we pray for you?" And, of course, just as he says, "Can we pray for you?" my hand's on his head, on her head. And she jumped back and says, "No." I said, "Oh, ma'am, I'm sorry. It's too late. I already touched you in the name of Jesus." I said, "I guarantee you don't have a headache." Whenever she tried to regather herself, she says, "Wow, you're right. I don't have a headache." I said, "I touched you in the name of Jesus." Now, what was in me that did that? Christ in me, the hope of glory, right? Now, where is that same Jesus? He's in you. And he's in you. And in you. And you. Isn't that wonderful? So why don't you do something like that? Somebody said, "Well, what if it don't work?" Probably won't first time. If you think like that, it probably won't work. But you know, so don't just do it one time. You know, I mean, start doing something for the kingdom. You know, once you learn these principles. If you happen to be in a grocery store, most of you girls probably go to the grocery store. Some of you guys go to the gas stations. If you go anywhere where there's people that's got sickness or disease or they're having trouble walking or seeing or whatever, just walk over and say, "I'd like to touch you in the name of Jesus." Would that be okay? And as you walk up, say, "I'd like to just touch you in the name of Jesus." They said, "No, don't do that." Say, "Oh, okay." It's already too late. You've already touched them. You see what I mean? But at least they're listening and they're not on the defensive when you walk up thinking, "This guy's fixing to grab my purse or something and run." So you tell them, "I want to touch you in the name of Jesus." And another way you can do that, since the scripture says you don't have to pray, just lay hands on them. Ayesha told me the other day after I preached on that one day, she said, "Oh, I've learned how to do the ladies at the Church of Christ now." She said, "When I go over there, I just walk up and I grab her by the hand and say, 'How are you doing today?'" She said, "Well, I'm not doing very good." I said, "Oh, well, may you feel better quickly in Jesus' name." See, she's done exactly what God says. She's laid hands on this lady, and these ladies are going to get healed, and she don't even have to pray. All she got to do is the scripture says, in fact, let's go to that promise in Mark 16, 17 and 18, and I want you to see this awesome scripture. Mark 16, look what it says, and we'll come back to here to Matthew. "And these signs shall follow them that believe." Now, are we supposed to be believers? We're supposed to be believing believers. Now, not unbelieving believers. "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. You shall speak with new tongues." And next verse. "You shall take up the serpent, the devil. And if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. And you shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Now then, did God make this so simple? We ought to be able to get anybody healed if we just know this, right? I'm going to lay hands on you, and I'm going to expect God to heal you in the name of Jesus. I'm going to reach out here to this young man right here, and I'm going to touch him and expect God to restore him from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. He's been prayed for now in faith. I've used the word of God on him. So all he's got to do now is begin to worship and praise the King for his complete healing. And then one morning he's going to wake up and say, "Wow, I can see to read my Bible again. Thank you, Lord." That's how simple it is. Is that what he said? See, but you got to stay in faith. You can't get in unbelief now.
That's right.
If it don't work in the morning, you say, "Well, that guy prayed for me and it didn't work, just like I thought." No. See, that's unbelief. That's why, like Dave back there, it took Dave nearly 2 years to get healed. But he didn't ever doubt. He stayed in faith and he got healed. Let's go to back to Matthew, where we were there, Matthew 18, 21. Yeah, Matthew 18, 21. Okay, whenever he come to Peter and said, how many times must I forgive? Seven times? Let's see what the Lord says next verse. Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee seven times, but 70 times seven. Now this will take something. This will find out what you're made out of. Now, when you realize the unforgiveness, the reason the Lord told us to forgive 490 times is because the consequences for not forgiving are out of this world. Let me read down there a little way and show you what happens when you don't forgive. Next verse. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a king which would take account of his servants. Next verse. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought to him that owed him 10,000 talents. Now that's a lot of money. Billions of dollars. Okay, next verse. But as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold. Now this is what's so important. The Lord, his Lord, our Lord, commanded him, the man, to be sold, his wife to be sold, and his children to be sold, and all that he had and payment to be made. Who is going to have to pay the price of all this sin? Everybody in the family. The mother, the father, the children, the assets, you know, your cars, your boats, your airplanes, your yacht, everything you've got, it's going to be under the legal right of the devil. Let's go to the next verse. The servant fell down on it and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. You see, the very first thing this man did, he fell on his knees and asked the Lord for patience and began to worship the Lord. Does he like to be praised? Yes, he likes to be praised. Like I say, if you're not bowing yourself down and worshiping him and praising him, you need to start, especially if you've got some kind of a sickness that seems to be dragging on. You need to make sure you're praising the king. Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Verse 27, then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. You see the Lord's compassion when we do what he says, and he loosed him and forgave him the debt, now that big debt. Now next verse. At the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. That's just a little bit. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe me. Now this is unbelievable that one guy has been forgiven such a big debt, and the other guy takes him and grabs him by the throat and is going to choke him. Let's see what the next verse says, 29. And his fellow servants fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, I have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Next verse. And he would not, but he went out and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Wow, what a nice guy.
You have been listening to Thurman Scribner of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety titled, What Changed with Gideon? Or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.